Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thank you so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. It's the fourth weekend of the month, and many of you who listen on a regular basis know that we play a sermon preached by my dad the last weekend of each month. And I must warn you, this is a powerfully strong message. It has truth that some will not like to hear. It talks about conviction. It talks about rejecting God. It talks about being answerable to God. So if you have a lost loved one, maybe they should hear this. And maybe you should pass the word. They can go online and hear it at their leisure. But I hope that it will do something to them as they listen if they're not where they need to be with the Lord. You can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can click on the media tab and the message will be there. And I hope that it will bring forth fruit. Thanks so much for listening today. We're going to be in revival meetings in the month of February. This last weekend of January, I'm in DeLand, Florida, January 21 to 24 at the Church of the Nazarene. And then February 11 to 14, Spencer, Indiana at the Church of the Nazarenes. February 16 to 18, Coleman, Alabama, Church of the Nazarene. Then finish out the month of February 21 to 25, Marksville, Louisiana, again at the Church of the Nazarene. I do covet your prayers, and I ask you to consider helping out financially. We're listener supported. We've never had a commercial sponsor, and it's only been by the faithfulness of our listening audience that we've been able to stay on the radio for 86 years. We're into our 87th year now, and what a blessing it has been for me to produce the Lights of Spiritual Guidance since my father's homegoing in the year 2000. Father, I pray for our listening audience today, and perchance, if someone's listening that's not right with you, I pray this message would somehow be used of the Holy Spirit to get hold of their heart. I pray that you would bless the message to the listener. I pray that you would continue to use this radio program so that people would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why it was begun in 1937, and that continues to be our purpose. So I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, don't forget to write to us. Help us out if you can. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or PayPal tabs there. Thanks so very, very much.
And I invite your attention to a very sobering passage of Scripture found in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. And out of this chapter, you'll notice these familiar words to many of you, I'm sure, beginning with verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. These verses in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. In the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, and the third verse, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit shall not always strive with man. We heard a tremendous message in one of the services previous in this camp meeting regarding this business of resisting the spirit and quenching the spirit. And tonight, it seems to me that the sobering truth that is before us ought to so indelibly stamp itself upon the hearts and minds of every person in divine presence, that there would be no danger whatsoever in anyone coming face to face with the reality that the Spirit of God, because of their unconcern and their indifference, no longer strives with them. To me, this is a truth that would almost make the blood run cold in one's veins. To think that the day would ever come that an ever-loving Lord, a gracious Heavenly Father, one that gave the best that heaven had in order that men might be redeemed from a life of sin, would be spurned so much by so many that the period of time would ever come that he would say, my spirit no longer will strive with them. If you'll study the passage that I read in your hearing, along with other supporting passages of Scripture, you'll find that time and time again, because of men's indifference toward God, that he allowed his judgments to fall upon them. If you'll go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that the antediluvian age was finally destroyed. The people that lived in that day were destroyed simply because God repented that he had ever made them. The book teaches us that he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented God that he had made man on the earth. Those of you that are students of the Word, remember how that he set about a way to destroy man that he had made. But if you'll come to the New Testament, you'll find that one day Jesus Christ said to his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. But go back with me, if you will, to the passage that I read in your hearing. We find that the wise man Solomon gives to us the reason in minute detail as to why God could say that my spirit shall not always strive with men. Notice the passage that I read in your hearing when he says, turn you at my reproof. Did it ever occur to you that we're living in a day when most people do not like to be reproved of their wrongdoing? They do not like to be reminded of discrepancies and deficiencies that prevail in their heart and in their life if the truth was known and an X-ray could be taken of the heart of every person in this great audience tonight, and the picture could be portrayed on a screen in this tabernacle of the actual condition of the hearts of some people that are in this auditorium, I'm sure that mass hysteria no doubt would break out and some would cry, turn off the picture. I don't want to reveal what really exists in my heart. And when preachers are faithful to declare the whole counsel of God and preach the truth, as each of us know that Paul admonished Timothy to do when he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering, make full proof of thy ministry, that many people draw back just a bit when there is a gospel message that has a tendency to reprove them of things that are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord, and conditions that prevail hidden away in the secret chambers of the heart. I know that we're living in a day when most people like to be lifted, and especially in our holiness camp meetings, and I confess to you that it would be much easier for me in the times that I'm honored to stand before this great congregation of people, be much easier for me to preach the kind of truth that would lift you and make you to rejoice in the adequacies of our Christ. But my friends, there's never been a time in the history of Christendom across this country when there needs to be a reminder to mankind of the reproof of conditions that exist in the heart that are not conducive to Christian influence and Christian victory in one's soul. When the preacher dares pull the cover back and expose the conditions that prevail in the heart, there's some that rise up in rebellion, and they'll find excuse as to why they do not appreciate that kind of truth. I said it before and repeat it tonight, for with no apology and not for vain repetition, but for emphasis, that you better thank your God that there's a few preachers left in this modernistic liberal age in which we live that will still preach the kind of truth that brings reproof to the heart and reveals the true condition of the soul of mankind. He says in this passage tonight to turn you at my reproof. What is involved in this business of reproof? We need to recognize that there needs to be a turning away of sinful thoughts and sinful practices and sinful attitudes, sinful dispositions, those things that block the channel of blessing, those things that rob us of our testimony, those things that put the fire out on the altar of our soul, those things that bring a question mark when we come face to face with the sobering certainties of another world. And I know that it's kind of easy for you to bypass some of those sobering truths when there's an uplift in the service and when people are rejoicing in the fact that they've been delivered from the condemnation of sin. But I would to God tonight that it would be possible for this preacher to bring such a sobering truth to this great audience until men would literally tremble at the actual condition of their soul if there's existing things within that brings question mark and condemnation to the heart of the individual. There's so much sinful practice in the world tonight. The word sin has invaded the areas of the church. There's been an invasion, beloved, in the church these days of the practice of sin. And there's more sin prevailing among church people tonight across this country than we could ever remember before. And we need to be reproved of that sin. It needs to be pinpointed. It needs, beloved, to be revealed. And the Holy Spirit is
is the one that reveals the sin. And he's the one that puts his finger on that condition in your heart that's not pleasing to him. And my friends, if there's the slightest indication that he moves upon your soul, you better bow your head in thanksgiving to God that he's still dealing with your heart and still speaking to you about those things, beloved, that ultimately are going to be revealed when we stand at the judgment, unless we get them under the blood and get them forgiven here and set them in our hearts while we live right here on this earth. And turn you at my reproof, he says. And then he comes further by saying, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And my friends, that word behold means that there's something here that you need to look at. And you need to analyze what's before you. You need to recognize that there's something serious relative to this personality that stands in your presence and that deals with your heart. And he says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And no one that's attended these services to any degree would ever have to say that God hasn't manifest himself in a tremendous measure in this place since this camp meeting began last Thursday night. People have been saved. People have been gloriously sanctified. Hearts have been lifted. People have been blessed. And folk have had a fresh touch from the hand of the Lord. And people have been made to rejoice in the things of God. And my friends, tonight it's been conducive for you to recognize that the Holy Spirit has been faithful to honor us with his presence. We haven't had to desire him to come. He's been in our midst. He's walked these aisles. He's permeated the atmosphere with his presence. And you've been aware that he's here. And that's why tonight it's tremendously important that you listen to his voice and react to the moving of the Spirit when he moves in your direction. I will pour out my spirit upon unto you. There have been revival after revival where God has been faithful to pour out his spirit. I remember some years ago listening to a very precious friend of mine as he preached in a revival that I was associated in. And he said that he was pastoring in one of our northern states. One evening about 6 o'clock, the doorbell rang. He said, I got up from the dinner table, went to the door, and there stood, to my amazing surprise, my young brother. He said, I welcomed him. I told him how grateful I was to see him. But I was surprised that he had come without notifying us that he anticipated coming. I welcomed him in the parsonage. We offered him a place at the dinner table. And I told him especially, was I glad that he came at that time, because revival was going on. And I was doing my own preaching as the pastor of the church. And I was happy that he came. He said, my young brother, without hesitancy, informed me that he didn't come to attend revival. He had matters that he wanted to look after and thought that he could find a place to stay in the parsonage with his brother and his family. He said, I'm happy you came. You're welcome to stay as long as you want to. But he almost told me very brassfully that he didn't intend to attend the revival. He said, I was already preaching this first night that he came, and I noticed that he came in and sat down on the back seat. He said, I brought my message, and the Holy Spirit settled down over that congregation. Normally, he said, I would have never done it, but I felt moved of the Holy Ghost to walk down that aisle and speak to my young brother. He said, I remember when he had a testimony. I remember when he loved the prayer meeting. I remember when he loved the Sunday night evangelistic service. I remember when the glory of God prevailed in his soul. And I said to him, I called him by name. I said, Jim, why don't you get back to God? God's been faithful to deal with your soul. Why don't you get back to him? And he said, he looked at me and called me by name. And he said, it'll cost me too much. And I can't pay the price. And it'll cost me too much. And I can't pay the price. And he said, I walked away. The next night, he said, the Spirit spoke again. And my brother was back there again. And every night that week, the Holy His Spirit was faithful. He poured out His Spirit upon the congregation. Others found victory at the altar. The atmosphere was permeated with His presence. And then He said, every night God spoke to me and I spoke to my brother. But every time He said, it'll cost me too much and I can't pay the price. And let me say in passing right here, friend, tonight, not to break the point of truth at this particular area in my message, but I'm preaching to people in this congregation. The reason that the glory of God doesn't prevail in your soul and you don't have a testimony and you just have a casual religious profession, nothing real, nothing vibrant, nothing exuberant in your soul, no serenity of heart, is because you've come face to face with divine truth. And you realize, beloved, the light had come to your pathway and you wasn't willing to walk in the light and face up to the reality of your soul. And because of that, tonight you're walking in darkness. And the reason you are is simply because you love darkness rather than light. And you haven't been willing to pay the price. And somebody says, Mr. Lohman, what do you mean pay the price? And I thought salvation was free. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. And there's too many people across this country in the religious world that want a cheap religion, just enough to get by on in the eyes of men. But ladies and gentlemen, I want the kind that'll be good to die by, and the kind that'll be good when He splits the skies and comes back after His chosen bride. He said, I poured out my Spirit unto you. And He said, Sunday morning came. My young brother came in the door with coat on his arm, hat in his hand, and down to the front. He said, I was preaching and I noticed my brother turned pale. And he got up and literally ran down the aisle out of the church. He said, it disturbed me to no end. I closed the service as soon as I could. Went home. My brother was lying across the bed, panting for breath. A doctor had been summoned. He said, the doctor said he'll be all right in a little while. Nerves on edge. Just a little edgy. He'll be all right in a given period of time. But he said my brother didn't get all right. He couldn't sleep. He didn't want anything to eat. And he said I could hear him as he would groan during the night hours. Revival closed. And he said I put my brother on the train, sent him back home to my dad. I went to another city for revival. 2 weeks passed and I received the telegram, if you want to see Jim alive, you better come quick. He said, I went as fast as I could to my father's home. I walked into the room and I saw the most incredible sight I ever looked at in my life. There, my young brother, who 4 weeks before was in the prime of life, a picture of health, had wasted away. It was almost beyond comprehension. His cheekbones almost protruded through the flesh. And I fell on my knees by his bed. I put my arm around his neck and pulled him to my breast and sobbed out, Jim, for God's sake. For God's sake, try to pray. He said he pushed me back and he called me by name. He said, you remember the other Sunday morning when I ran out of the church? He said, God spoke to me that morning. He said, I had one of two alternatives, either to go with God or run from God. I took the second alternative, and I ran away from God. And he said, when I went out of that church, something went out of me, and God's gone. He said, I'd pay any price now, but God's gone. I'd pay any price, but God's gone. And ladies and gentlemen, God says, my Spirit is not always going to strive with you. Oh, hear me, my friends, tonight. He said, I called you, but you refused. My Spirit will not always strive with man. And my friends, how many of you has He spoken to? How many of you that there's been a nudge, a moving of the Holy Ghost in your very heart during these days? Thus far, and I know this is just the first Monday night, but oh, this thing burns in my soul tonight, such as I've not felt in quite some time. Listen, friend, I want you to know tonight, it's a dangerous business to push aside the Spirit of the Lord when He moves upon your heart.
Come home.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fosteria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.